Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Tim Murray's the host of VSiN Live. Beg your pardon, VSiN Primetime, airing live from 5 until 8 p.m. Central Time. He's also the host of VSiN's College Basketball Betting Podcast. It will be available this week. He's on Twitter at @1TimMurray. Tim, I know you're going to record the podcast shortly after this. When will it be dropping in time for regional semi and final weekend?
Oh, baby, we already got one out. We got first one out, me and Matt Eumanns. I'm about to hit record with Mr. Adam Burke, and maybe I'll throw another one in there later before the games get going. But, yeah, it is college hoops aplenty if you want your college hoops content. And so if you wouldn't mind, lovely city of Memphis, just give us a subscribe. It's free. Doesn't cost you anything.
And don't forget to like on iTunes.
Do all the good stuff.
We're trained now. Rate, review, whatever.
Yes. You know, do all that stuff.
Leave 5 stars.
Just listen to it, please. Just listen to it.
You can trash Tim in the comments, but just give 5 stars. You can say whatever
exactly.
you want.
Exactly. Yes. You could say I suck. Just give me 5 stars. I don't care. I am
100% on board. All right, before we get into this week's games, how would you rate the opening weekend?
Like, are we doing 1 to 10? Are we doing 5 stars?
I think the perfect description of the weekend, so I went back and looked in my BetMGM account. I made 57 wagers and made $22. Let me tell you what, it was a roller coaster.
Yes. Friday was horrendous, man. Friday was one of the worst, just the way the losses came for me. Was really rough, man. Like, I had, you know, we talked about on the show, I like Drake. They collapse. 16-1 run to close out the game. Obviously, you know, you guys being there in Memphis, the way that game unfolded at the end, you know, I stick by what I said. I truly believed that if Memphis wins that game, I think they win the region or have a darn good shot of doing so. And, you know, the bracket broke, like I kind of anticipated. Saturday was a little bit of a get-back day. Felt pretty good. I had Arkansas, had Tennessee, and what was the neighbor Nick special probably of the entire tournament.
Was it that? Because I'm not kidding you. I've never had a bet get in my head. That one was up there. But St. Mary's UConn. And when you would see, like, I would go everywhere. Tickets, money, everything was on UConn. The line dropped to 3.5, like 30 minutes before tip-off.
Yeah, I didn't mess with that game. That was a stay-away game for me. I tweeted it out on Friday, Thursday night. I'm sitting there. I'm watching, you know, Tennessee hold on for dear life against UL Lafayette. You know, Duke takes care of business. We had talked about it last week, how Duke had become this trendy pick where, you know, everybody on ESPN had them win in the East region and, you know, they're red hot. And, you know, something that really stood out to me is the site Shot Quality, which is a site that I utilize a lot and is a great resource, which, you know, it puts into perspective the final score based off of the entire year of data. And what they pointed out was they actually had Duke winning by like 1 point against Oral Roberts as opposed to the 22 that the scoreboard showed. And then, you know, KenPom had the game Tennessee -3. The market had a Duke -3.5. So you had this kind of big discrepancy. And then the tickets, you know, 80%+ at whatever sports book you looked at. I think BetMGM was reporting like 81%. And it just, it kind of all came together. And Tennessee did what it does best. It bullied some younger kids. In Duke, you know, they made shots that they don't normally make. They went 9 of 21 from 3. Tennessee did. They're a team that shoots around 33% from 3, so they shot above their head, while so many teams this weekend had shot below their average. So, you know, that all being said, I think that makes up to a really fascinating spot on Thursday at Madison Square Garden, where you've got Florida Atlantic, who, you know, I don't want to say defied the odds. They were only a 1.5-point underdog against Memphis, but they withstood Memphis. They get the last bucket at the end of the game, and you know everything that unfolded there, where Memphis should have got a timeout and the Kendrick Davis, you know, pass and all of that played out. And then you look at, you know, now this situation to me has Tennessee kind of back in this, hey, we like Tennessee again role, well, where everybody kind of crapped on them for about 3-4 weeks. So I actually like Fuller Atlantic in this spot catching some points, because they're capable, and they're a super deep team, incredibly deep team, well coached. I think this is a tricky spot for Tennessee on Thursday night.
I feel like the rule with Tennessee, and maybe it should be just a Rick Barnes rule, when he's a dog and no one's giving him a shot, that's when he's live. And, sure. And I think we saw that. Like, they basically just punched Duke in the face, literally. Yeah, and at that point, it's like Duke wanted no part of it. It's almost like, though, when all of a sudden the expectations get placed on a Rick Barnes team, that's when I just start to wonder. I don't know. That Memphis-FAU game was just something to behold, because Memphis is, you know, self-destructing on the sideline. It took us back to last year's team, which had a lot of chemistry issues. This team has really not had that. And then I know Kendrick Davis is probably freaking out because he thinks he's hurt his ankle again, and there's frustrations blowing over. I just found myself wondering, and there's probably no way of knowing this, Memphis played after Purdue and FAU, or Purdue and FDU.
Yep.
I wonder if they saw that result and it just made them tighten up, because, oh my God, all of a sudden, you know, it's on. You know, the path is there.
I mean, anything is possible in these tournaments. You just never know what, you know, these guys are thinking. You know, obviously you think to the Kihei Clark pass.
Yeah.
A guy who's got one of the most iconic passes in, you know, NCAA recent history. His pass to Diakite in the closing seconds against Purdue to force overtime. And then he makes this play that you're just like, where did that come from? And there's just so much pressure on these guys. And Kendrick Davis, I don't know if he was expecting to get fouled when they double teamed him and he dribbled out of it. And then he, you know, maybe just thought, you know, the guy had the step in front of him. But yeah, I mean, I was watching that on a flight to Los Angeles, and, you know, I'm watching it on my phone, and I'm just like, I mean, that game was just an absolute roller coaster ride. And here's the thing about Florida Atlantic, you know, why I like them again against Tennessee is, you know, I'm a big believer in, you know, things kind of regress to the mean. Doesn't always work out. But Florida Atlantic, over the first two games of the tournament against Memphis and against Fairleigh Dickinson, they didn't shoot well. They were 8 of 28 from 3 against Memphis. They were 9 of 31 from 3 against Fairleigh Dickinson. So you put that together, it's 28.8%. This is a team that, you know, entering the NCAA tournament was shooting at a 37% clip. So they shot 9% under what they normally do, as opposed to what Tennessee did against Duke, like I mentioned, where they shot 9% over what they normally shoot. So, look, it's not going to be easy by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, Tennessee is, like you mentioned, you know, Tennessee is a team that in this type of role where they're the favorite, they're now the favorite to win the East region.
Yep.
I mean, this was a team that many believed would lose in the first round to Louisiana Lafayette, and they almost did. I mean, they tried to lose that game late, and now the Tennessee Volunteers head to Madison Square Garden with a whole new load of pressure on them. And, you know, what I like about FAU, and like we saw against Memphis, you know, obviously Penny rolled the dice big time with foul trouble, because they're just not a super deep team.
Yeah.
Florida Atlantic will just keep throwing you at them, man. They go like 9 deep. They don't care, man. They throw them at you. Like, here you go, here you go. Just different types of bodies that are coming at you. So And I'll say this. We had Chris Felico on my show yesterday. I thought he made a really good point about this game. He said, think about the pressure that FAU was under on Sunday.
Yep.
They're playing Fairleigh Dickinson. Of course, this Florida Atlantic was a 15-point favorite in the second round of the NCAA tournament. Think about that sentence that I just said. Florida Atlantic was a 15-point favorite in the second round.
Hence, I took them because I was like, that makes no sense. I got to take
it. Right. They were tight. You know, the crowd was starting to cheer again for Fairleigh Dickinson. Now the roles are back to the norm. Tennessee's the one who's got the pressure on them. You're telling me that whoever wins game one, whether it be Michigan State or Kansas State, those fans aren't going to stay and cheer as hard as they possibly can for Florida Atlantic at any moment in time? So that's why I think the pressure's back on Tennessee. You know, this is a team, as you guys know, down there in the state of Tennessee. I mean, Zakai Ziegler, his loss, I went back and looked up. It's a super small sample size. But if you look at the games that they've played without Zakai Ziegler, entering the Duke game, their offensive efficiency was 105th in the country. Now, it's just four games.
Right.
So, you know, very, very small sample size. But still, this is an offense that isn't fully humming without Zakai Ziegler. So, they're going to have their hands full against the FAU team that, you know, wasn't an accident that this team won 33 games. So I'm excited for that game. I'm really fascinated to watch it play out. And, you know, for my own personal purposes, I hope that it's a close game.
Kansas State +1.5, despite being the 3 seed, despite, you know, taking it to Kentucky and looking pretty good in the first weekend. Does this line stink the most, or is this just the ultimate tip of the cap to Tom Izzo?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I was surprised to see some of the BetMGM splits that came out today that had Kansas State as the most public side. Now, take that with a grain of salt. The public doesn't really get involved until probably Thursday morning, you know, leading into these games. But I was a bit surprised to see that. We have seen a flip of favorites, as you alluded to. This started Kansas State, very slight favorite at some shops, -1. Now Michigan State is at 2-point favorite. What I'll say about Michigan State, speaking of, you know, coming back to the norm, you know, they beat Marquette and shot poorly from three. They were 2 of 16 from three in that game. It's a top 10 3-point shooting team in the country. Now, they don't unload like Alabama. Right. Alabama shoots like 47% of their possessions are 3-point shots. So they're pretty calculated in their 3-point attempts. But that was an interesting kind of nugget that I saw here. What I'm curious about is Marquise Noel. Is this just a situation, for those who don't know, Kansas State guard who went off, who Calipari called what, the little guy, which I thought was an absolute, you know, complete D-you-know-what move by Calipari.
It's on brand.
Yeah, but he apologized. But
I mean, it's because Noel made him.
Yeah, I mean, he dropped 27 on you, dude. What are you going to do?
He single-handedly beat you the last 4 minutes.
And so is Marquise Noel going to be the guard that takes this tournament over? Remember I mentioned Kendrick Davis while I was like, I think he could be that guard. Is Marquise Noel going to just be that guard? And Keontae Johnson is no slouch either. I mean, this is a dude that was, you know, once upon a time, you know, preseason SEC player of the year before, you know, everything that unfolded with him with his health scare down at Florida. So, and then here's the question I have too. So Marquise Noel, he's from the Bronx.
Yep.
He's never played at Madison Square Garden. Think about that. I mean, he has never played at the Mecca, and he's got an opportunity. Is this that opportunity where he goes off and goes nuclear, or does he get just too juiced up and is clanking things left and right? I don't have the answer to that. I don't have a bet on this game. My initial thought was Michigan State, just kind of, you know, you've got a 7 seed laying points now against a 3 seed. So that was kind of the initial thought, you know, Tom Izzo getting extra time to prepare versus, you know, Jerome Tang, who's been unbelievable. And is this a situation where, kind of like we saw with Marquette, where Marquette is so well coached with Shaka Smart that the 2 seed was they were over their skis, and this isn't meaning in a derogatory way, because they're so well coached and because they came together so well as a team, they overexceeded so many expectations that here they are on a two line where the talent doesn't necessarily line up to what their seeding is. You kind of saw it with Kansas and Arkansas, right?
Yeah.
Kansas is so damn well coached that they lost two first-round picks, six of their top eight scorers, and yet they were a one seed. You play this Arkansas team that you're looking around, you're like, holy crap, this team has so much talent. Like, this is insane. We've got ourselves in a war here. So I'm going back and forth. I'm, like, battling with myself on this Kansas State-Michigan State game. And I would imagine both of those fan bases are going to be there in droves, probably more so Michigan State, but I'm fascinated by that matchup.
Yeah, if you made me bet, I'm saying Noel rises to the occasion. He seems like that guy.
I kind of hope he does.
You know what I mean? Like, he's just got a little of the dog in him, because, like, he could have risen to the occasion. They needed him on Saturday, because still have no idea how Kansas State won. I was thankful they did. But honestly, I think the simple answer was like, he just decided, I'm winning this game. All right, you mentioned UConn, because this is UConn and Arkansas. This game really fascinates me, because I think these teams are kind of mirror images of each other. You see so much talent on both sides. Both teams inconsistent this year, probably Arkansas way more so than UConn. Yeah. But I think what we kind of saw with the SEC this year was, man, going on the road in that league was pretty tough, and they had some pretty good teams. Which way are you leaning here? Because I'm just blinded by Arkansas. Like, they're so talented, and there's something about Musselman ripping his shirt off. Just like, it's just like tournament time. Like, it feels like he's kind of the new Izzo in that, like, man, give him a chip and a chair, and you feel like he's there.
Yeah, I mean, he's like the anti-Matt Painter.
Yes.
I mean, he's the polar opposite of, like, regular season. I mean, this is a guy that made runs at Nevada to the Sweet 16 before they lost to Loyola. Now this, an opportunity to go to, what, his third straight Elite Eight, which is just insane when you think about it. You know, the really intriguing aspect of this game to me is, you know, I've said it, I've been guilty of it, you know, but, you know, because I bet Arkansas against Illinois, I bet them against Kansas, and what I kept coming back to, I'm like, man, they got two lottery picks on this team. One of them doesn't even really play.
Yeah.
Like, what are we going to get from Nick Smith in this game? Did you read? So Seth Davis, and I don't know if he's the only one that had it, I was reading through his kind of synopsis of the whole weekend on The Athletic, and he pointed out that Nick Smith, after the game, was sobbing in the bathroom, you know, played 16 minutes, no points, you know, was all over the place against Illinois. Like, is Muss just out on Nick Smith? You know, at this point, can he not play him? I mean, Devontae Davis, that dude was out of this world in that victory against Kansas. And then you've got Anthony Black as well. So I think Arkansas absolutely is live in this spot. The computers adore UConn. They have all year. And right now they're reaping the benefits of it. You know, they covered against Iona with that monstrous second half. They covered against St. Mary's. But I mentioned this, and, you know, once again, nothing in the world of gambling is ever gospel. But if you go to Shot Quality, which is, you know, that site that I referenced prior, they graded out the UConn St. Mary's game based off of, you know, what the data showed them as a St. Mary's 10-point victory. They just couldn't make shots, St. Mary's. And whether that's because UConn, you know, just they're so long and they can and alter your shots or whatever
They ain't playing Pepperdine, baby.
But no, they graded it out as a 65-55 St. Mary's game when the final score was 70-55 UConn. But Arkansas is just, you know, they're not going to be afraid. And, you know, the West region, we said it from the jump. I think most people did. This is from top to bottom, just absolutely loaded with, you know, Kansas, Gonzaga, UCLA, UConn, St. Mary's, Arkansas, TCU. I mean, so many good teams in this West region. And, you know, here in Las Vegas on Thursday night, the appetizer to the main course is pretty damn good in Arkansas and UConn. You've seen this line move down a little bit. The reason I haven't bet it is I'm waiting for it to come back up. I think it will. I think we're going to grab a four. If you like Woo Pig Suey, I think we could get a four here. So I haven't bet it yet, but my hunch is I'm going to take the points. And what I feel like talent-wise is kind of, I would say, a scratch. I mean, I really love the way that Arkansas plays it. And here's the question I have. Obviously, UConn has a ton of size.
Yeah.
But they have no point guard. And I think if Arkansas just throws pressure at them, how much does that hurt them? I mean, Sanogo was unstoppable. They bring in the big dude, the 7'2 kid, was it Klingon?
The freshman, off the bench. Yeah,
who, like, I forget which game I bet against UConn. I'm like, this guy is just getting every rebound. You know, he's enormous. But I think Arkansas, if they play to the level of their capabilities, which Muss has seemed to kind of figure out here, I think they've certainly got an opportunity and a chance to win that game outright.
All right, and then lastly, our bet from last week.
Yep. Winner for you. Well, not totally
so
yet.
So here's the thing. When you offered it up, you had forgotten that Pittsburgh was playing that night.
I did.
Or the next night. I had not forgotten that Pittsburgh. No, it actually was that night. They were playing that night because that was the State-Pittsburgh game was the first night.
Yeah.
And I immediately took it. I am willing to be.
That's all right.
I am willing to be the person that says the first four doesn't count.
No, because here's the thing. I'll be honest. If Nevada had beaten Arizona State, I would have absolutely counted that for my bet.
Yeah, so. No, I assumed that's what it was.
There was. I counted the teams. I missed one of them. I don't know if I missed Miami. So here was the way I looked
at it. You probably did what everyone does. Like, who the hell knows who's in what league now?
Right. So if people missed it, we bet against each other, Mountain West wins versus ACC wins. And basically, if it was a push, I won.
Correct.
Whoever else.
I got a half of a game.
Half a game, yeah.
Or you got a half a game, sorry.
So the way I looked at it, and I think actually it ended up, I think we were both right.
Yeah, no, because the only team you really wanted to really ride with was San Diego State.
Yeah, and here we are. And I was just hoping, like, Utah State, I bet in the first round, and they absolutely, you know what, the bed. They went 4 of 24 from 3 against Missouri, and was awful. I didn't have much faith in Nevada, but I was hoping, like, hey, maybe that us against the world, no one believes in us, we could sneak one out in Dayton against Arizona State. Not the case.
And Arizona State's the perfect team to just no-show.
Yeah.
Like, they did. I give them credit. I thought all turn, even that TCU game, like, they fell apart at the end, but, like, they showed up this tournament.
I had Arizona State, and that was like, Friday was like my
money line. I went money line. Didn't even, oh God, it was so awful.
Friday was my like worst day ever. And I'm waiting. I'm watching that game. I'm like, are they really going to blow this? Like, I can't go completely winless today. Thankfully they got the cover, but right now, well, I was hoping that Duke would get tripped up, which ultimately happened. I knew NC State was going to lose. I had no faith in Pitt. The Pitt win over Iowa State really hurt me. And then Miami, you know, credit to them. So you've got, what, 5 wins right now? So you're...
I'm sitting pretty good.
Yeah, you're good. Unless San Diego State wins the national championship.
Well, and that would be...
You've got this one.
And that's a double loser for me because I have my Alabama ticket at 20-1. So I've got Alabama and UCLA. Obviously, the great thing would be both of them meet in the championship game. I don't have to hedge. I'm going to roll the dice and say, Alabama, prove it to me. This is a personal challenge game. I don't think San Diego State's all that good. Beat them. But I'm already thinking I have to take the Gonzaga money line. And so, at best, I get 11-1 on my payoff for UCLA. Because I'm worried. They look so banged up.
They're really banged up. And, you know, I think the way I'm playing that game is going to be a hold on to your butt special. I actually like the under. Because they are so banged up, I think Mick Cronin's just gonna say, "Hey,
grind
man,
it out.
We gotta grind this sucker out,
yep.
And we gotta kind of Tennessee Gonzaga, right?
Yep.
I mean, when Gonzaga gets going, as we saw in that second half in the TCU game, good luck, man. I mean, that team when they are rolling, yikes, they are ridiculous offensively. Per look at their defensive or offensive efficiency rankings, but I think UCLA can really ugly it up or try to, kind of like the Pac-12 championship game.
Yeah.
So I actually like the under in that game. That's my bet on UCLA Gonzaga, a game that I'm going to attend. So there's nothing more thrilling in life going to a game and having an under ticket in
miss,
your pocket.
Miss! Yeah. Rebound! No offensive boards! All right, buddy. We appreciate it, man. Enjoy the week.
All right, man. We'll talk next week. See ya.
That is Tim Murray of VSiN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.